Well, welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Like we've been saying all morning, online with us is Ralph Bunn, Mr. Intel himself.
Hey. Hey! Mr. Intel, that sounds pretty good.
How is Mrs. Intel doing?
Oh, fine. She's asleep. It's still pretty early out here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, boy. Oh, sorry to do that to you.
Not a problem.
It's been a long time since we talked last.
Yes, it has, and I'll tell you, this is pretty exciting news for your area of the world. The top 100 unwired cities, that means cities that give their citizens the greatest number of access points to go on the Internet wirelessly. Last year, in Bert Sperling's top 100 list, you guys were in position 30 in the top 100, which was great. But get this year you guys have bumped all the way up to position number 8. So you are in the top 10. That is very, very good.
Yeah, I helped. I put 3 access points in at home, and I helped.
That's what did it.
Yep. Yeah, we put it all over the place, and it's all open to the public. Unsecured.
Well, hey, that actually brings up another topic we can get into later, too.
Yeah. So who conducted this?
Well, this was put together by Bert Sperling, and maybe you're familiar with Bert Sperling's Best Places to Live survey. Each year he comes out with a listing of the cities in the United States that, due to a set of factors, livability, economy, crime, and so forth, lists best places to live. And about 3 years ago, Intel said, hey, Bert, why don't we team up and let's look at the top 100 cities in the United States that give the greatest number of opportunities for their citizens or visitors to get on the Internet at high speed wirelessly using their laptops, handhelds, and in some cases these super advanced smart combination cell phones that can surf the web wirelessly as well. And so through a whole bunch of tabulations, you get the rankings of the cities. And again, you guys come in at this incredibly great position of number 8 in the entire nation.
So he's the guy that ruined the neighborhood. He is the one. No, this is really great news. This is, a few years ago, it was all about getting wired.
Right, right.
Oh, who's wired and who's not? Right. Now it's unwired. And the first time I heard about this, I said, what, something happened in our area? And what's her name? Said, no. This is something completely different.
You're absolutely right. It is kind of comical because when we did the first year, 3 years ago, when we issued the first listing, we had cities calling up and complaining and saying, what are you saying about us that we're out of it? We're backward? No. What? Let us explain. We mean going wireless.
Yeah.
And that is certainly the wave of the future. And how this survey was put together, again, it was a count of the number of commercial or free public wireless hotspots. And probably the simplest example, you may have a coffee shop in town or an airport or a library or someplace where you can go in with your wireless laptop. Maybe you've got a new Centrino-based technology laptop or whatever you're using that has wireless capability, and you can detect a spot in the air. Usually what happens is you double-click on your web browser, mm-hmm. and instead of going to the web page you might have set as your home page, a controller in the hotspot intercepts your attempt to go out on the web, presents you with a page. It either says, welcome to our free hotspot, do you agree to the terms to use this hotspot, or if it's, let's say, Starbucks, let's use that example, T-Mobile is a service in Starbucks, so you'll get a greeting page from T-Mobile saying, hi, are you a regular subscriber, do you want to buy some time? And then once you go through those steps, then you're up and surfing the web wirelessly. So the survey looked at the number of hotspots. It also looked at the availability of high-speed broadband connectivity, period, in a city or a municipal area. And that means whether you have the cable modem service, the DSL modem services. And it looked at other things like availability of hotspots in airports, which is becoming really a big deal these days. And then last but not least, it did a count on the number of wireless email devices, things like BlackBerries, that sort of thing. Put all those numbers together, compared that ratio of those items against the population base, and that's how the rankings were determined.
Okay, so why did Intel get on to this? I mean, why did Intel do this?
Well, certainly Intel has been a very big pusher and a very big proponent of going wireless with our digital lifestyle for a number of years. We started off with the wired networking products many, many years ago as a catalyst. We stepped out of that business because once it got up and running, we felt that other companies could go forward with that and use our chip technology accordingly. Now in the world of wireless, we felt that it was very important for people to begin to be able to have a digital lifestyle that's untethered, wireless, wherever you go, So a few years back, you may recall, we launched our Centrino mobile technology set of chips for laptop manufacturers, which included a built-in wireless capability instead of having to buy an expensive add-in card and asking the users to install it and mess around with it. So our motivation is to promote the wireless lifestyle, so we thought, what a great thing to do, team up with Bert Sperling, who's so famous for his best places to live study, take it at a different point of looking at wireless and then publishing that and telling people in the world about what's going on. We've had wonderful reaction from cities. Cities seem to really get a big kick out of this kind of competition to see where they stand in the listing.
And where can people find out about all the hotspots and all these available in Raleigh or anywhere?
Well, yeah. In fact, to answer both questions, there's a great place to go and start, and that's we've set up a special little website here, intel.com/go, so just the word go, G-O, so intel.com/go/unwired cities as one word. Now, here's something important. Don't put .com at the end or .org or anything, just intel.com/go/unwired cities. Now, when you come out to that special site, because it'll redirect you to a site, and then it's going to have a listing of all of the cities in the survey, but it's also going to have all kinds of helpful links, like how do I go wireless in my home, how do I find a wireless hotspot, and of course you can take any of your search engines like Google or whatever and just say free or pay or Wi-Fi hotspot finder or directory, and you're going to get loads of resources as well that way.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm at the page now.
And Ralph, what type of trends? Where do you see hotspots go in the future?
Oh, the trend. Well, the trend right now is, as you can see from looking at all the resources that are out there on the web, the biggest trend I'm seeing right now are more and more free hotspots, and particularly in airports. Let me just give you a couple of microcosmic examples. Just the day before, I was in the Colorado Springs Airport, the smaller regional airports are really starting to get onto this idea of give our customers free internet hotspot access, and it's an attraction for them maybe to continue using our airports. Fort Lauderdale has free Wi-Fi. The Portland, Oregon airport where I live here has free Wi-Fi. Colorado Springs has free Wi-Fi. Now, a lot of the other major, larger airports, Denver, for example, uses I believe it's Singular service, which is a fee-based service. So there's nothing wrong with those fee-based services, but if you ask me what's the trend, I think we're seeing more and more of these free wireless hotspots that businesses are putting in to attract customers and hotels. The really big trend now, I'm seeing more and more of the hotel chains aimed at business people saying, hey, come and stay with us, you'll get free wireless access. And then on a larger, more global, futuristic crystal ball level, I think we're going to see the idea of, well, wouldn't it be great, in addition to all of these wireless hotspots, which have a range of maybe a couple of hundred feet or whatever the case may be, wouldn't it be interesting if we could someday have high-speed wireless access to the Internet, not unlike what we now have with our cell phones? And that's a technology, one of the technologies that's being looked at that Intel's very involved with as well, is called WiMAX. That's W-I-M-A-X. And if you want to learn all about WiMAX, which theoretically could create a super hotspot, if you want to call it, up to 30 miles in size.
Wow.
Go check this out. Go out to WiMAX, W-I-M-A-X, forum, forum.org. And this is an international organization. Intel is a part of it. And you'll learn all about the experiments going on with this technology, where in the United States it's being experimented with. It may be one of several technologies that will provide all of us the opportunity, if we wish, to get online wirelessly, get to the Internet, get to our email, get to our entertainment, pretty much anywhere we go. So that's an exciting future there.
Okay, so this is all involves businesses. What happens with wireless networks at home, though?
At home, it's growing like crazy, and I'm so glad you brought up that point, because one of the things that Bert Sperling's team did in terms of determining how a city ranked in the top 100 is did an estimate on how many people, small businesses, and homes have installed a wireless home network. So that was part of the equation, too. that's growing like gangbusters. We're seeing more and more consumers now as prices have come down for home wireless networking gear, and it's become easier. I'm not going to tell you it's like opening up a TV from Costco and plugging it into the wall and away you go. No, you still have to read instructions, which is difficult for us guys. You have to, you know, pay attention to the steps, follow the installation wizards, be willing to spend some time, but it's much, much, much easier than it used to be a few years ago, and some of the things that have helped make that easy are the latest operating systems from our friends at Apple, and of course at the Windows XP operating system now has a much easier way for you to set up your network. So that was factored into the rankings as well. What is the penetration of home wireless networking? It's growing like crazy. And I think you're just going to see more and more. But this raises that issue of security you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful little product. You guys might get a kick out of this. Do a web search for a company called Canary Wireless. So canary like the bird, mm-hmm. but Canary Wireless is one word. They have a hotspot finder handheld little device I've been carrying around the country with me. And what you do is you press a button, and there's a little LCD display, and it will analyze the air. It'll sniff the air, as the geeks say, and tell you what open or secure networks are available in the range of what it can detect. And I actually drove around my neighborhood in my car with my son driving and me in the back seat and pressing the button every so often, and I found out about 6 out of 10 hotspots I could detect in my neighborhood had really creative names like Netgear, Linksys, Default, right?
All on channel 11, right?
All on channel 6, mind you. Out of the factory.
Oh, that's, yeah, some of them are, yeah.
Yeah, and all of them open, no security.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Friends, if you're thinking about getting a wireless network for your home, which is how you bring the wireless lifestyle to your immediate home, please, please, please follow the instructions that come with your product to create some kind of protected passcode or security code system so that you can control and manage, or at least help control and manage access to your system.
Right. Okay, so what else is going to happen with wireless in the future that you know, that Intel or you are aware of other than that?
Well, I think a lot of times when people think about wireless technology, and understandably they're thinking about exactly what we've been talking about,
right.
And that is just simply getting out to the internet wireless.
Right.
But the other thing that's very exciting in the digital home, as we call it in the technology community today, is the idea of using this wireless network that you've created in your home. We just talked about this whole idea of going down to the local computer store, getting the wireless router, adding the wireless capability to all your desktop computers. If your laptops already have it built in, you're ready to go, that's great. Where do you go from there? What's so much fun in terms of a trend to watch, guys, is now if you have enough people in the United States, Canada, the rest of the world, with wireless home networks, capitalists, creative engineers, and business people say, well, wait a minute now. This is sort of like the days when we finally got electricity into homes and outlets in the walls, right?
Mm-hmm.
First natural thought was lights. We've got to have lights. That's what electricity is all about. Then someone said, well, wait a minute. You know what? We could plug something else into those outlets and something else again and something else, and the rest is history, right?
Right.
So think of Wi-Fi in your home or a wireless network in your home being like electricity in your home. Now you've got opportunities, and I'm seeing these wonderful things like products called digital media adapters, DMAs, very geeky-sounding words. These are little boxes that join your home wireless network. They sit next to your TV and stereo, and what they do is they allow all that digital music you may have on your desktop or your laptop in your home.
Shh! Don't tell anybody.
And played out on the stereo or TV, yeah.
Interesting. No, I didn't mean to stop you.
Oh no, cool. It's the whole thing of getting creative. Once you have the wireless network in the home, it's like having electricity. Another fun thing is our wireless webcams that you can use for security or personal communications purposes. You can sprinkle your home with these wireless webcams. D-Link makes one, for example. Linksys has one. And once they join your home wireless network, you can tune into these cameras from anywhere in the world using your web browser, using a password security, of course. And that's another creative use of these wireless networks. So it's more than just surfing the web.
Wireless digital phone?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have the Vonage voice over IP phone system in my house as a supplement for my business calls and so forth. And that's a lot of fun. And there's many, many other companies providing that. So that's using the internet. Now, that's in some cases the wireless there. You might use a cordless phone as your way of doing it, so it's not exactly a wireless voice over IP. However, I could take my I have done this, in fact. I can take my Vonage, and I'm not endorsing Vonage over any other company. Yeah. It just so happens to be the one I use. It's a little tiny box, you may recall or know. I can take that, and if I can set things up in a hotel room, I can actually carry that with me and use that wherever I go. And another fun product, you want to talk about wireless? There are little products out there, little tiny boxes. So let's imagine this scenario. You check into a hotel. The hotel does not have wireless service necessarily, but in each hotel room may have a single cable, an RJ45 Cat5 cable for internet access, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you pay your 10 bucks a day or whatever it might be. Well, there are little products. Netgear makes one, for example, that I travel around with. You can plug in the little box, and it will create for you a personal, private, secure little wireless network right there in your hotel room, so you can have multiple PCs running off of that single connection that you've got in your room. So there are all kinds of creative things that are happening in terms of, once we have Wi-Fi established, creative products are just pouring out by the thousands every day.
Exciting times.
Yeah, it certainly is.
So, and what about that Apple idea thing?
Isn't that something? Very exciting news. You know, on I think it was the 6th or 7th of June at the Developers Conference, Steve Jobs, of course, announced to the development community that the roadmap for Apple is to come on board with our microprocessors. And this is something that's been in development for a long, long time. And, of course, I cannot tell you how excited, how thrilled and pleased we are to have them come on board with us and for these two great historic companies. When you look at the history of personal computing, of course Apple is a huge, huge, huge part of that story. Intel, in our own way, has been a big part of the story. And to have our two worlds come together, these two historic companies come together and march off into the future together hand in hand, is extremely exciting. And I just can't wait to see that unfold. Now, that one thing I want to caution to the listeners who may not be aware of what we're talking about is that this doesn't mean that tomorrow you're going to walk into your store and purchase a Macintosh that has an Intel chip in it. It's going to take some time. We're going to really see this happen more over the period of time next year in 2006. And then the roadmap says something along the lines of, by 2007, the plan is for all of the Macintosh line, from the economy level all the way up through the super powerful level, to be based on Intel microprocessors.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very nice for us.
Nice, yeah. Well, it's nice for them. They're finally waking up, I guess.
Well, it's an interesting business strategy, and Steve himself said, he looked at the roadmap, he said, we've been doing the PowerPC chip for 10 years, and that's great, and now looking for the next 10 years going mm-hmm. forward, what he said, and I'm paraphrasing his quote at the conference, is that he felt our roadmap, meaning Intel's processor roadmap, offered the best opportunity to grow the product line over the next 10 years. So, again, we're just ecstatic about this whole announcement.
Good, good. All right, Ralph. Guess we came to the end of the segment here.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, no, the pleasure is all ours. You need to go back to sleep.
Hey, no problem. No, I'm too wound up with coffee now.
All right, well, thanks again.
My pleasure.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.
That was Ralph Bond of Intel, and we'll be right back.